talking about the Serenity Prayer in view of the Christmas story, all right, is what we're doing today. Once I was on a missions trip to Haiti, okay, and we went and we spent time there, and we were coming back through the Dominican Republic, and we were going to stop at a beach that was going to be a fun, relaxing day after having spent a week working really, really hard in Haiti. Well, we went down, it was a rather steep embankment there going down to the beach, and we went down to that beach. It was a rather narrow beach as well, and the beach was sort of a semicircle, if you know. There was mountains here and sort of came around like that, and we went down to the beach on that that lower part of that narrow beach, and it wasn't quite as sandy as I would like. It was a little rocky, but the water was perfect. It was that Caribbean water, and it was amazing. Well, our team, some of our men on the team went out with some of our students that were on the team, and they went out into the water, and they started having a great time, and they got about waist deep in the water, and then there was a wave that came by their way and knocked them off their feet, and they went tumbling in the wave, and they rolled around, and they came back in, and they said, "It's dangerous out there. You shouldn't go out past about knee deep. That's about all you can stand," because these healthy, able-bodied men had been knocked off their feet by the wave that had come in. Fortunately, all our students made it back, and everybody made it back to safety on the beach. But being this person who was going to be in that water and was going to play in those waves, your pastor sometimes doesn't make the best decisions concerning his physical well-being. I decided I was going to go out into those waves, and I was going to ride some of those waves, right? Even though I was encouraged by people much younger than myself not to do that. So I went into, and I went, and the one child guide went with me. He went out with me into the waves, and we got about waist deep or so like that, and certainly we rode a few waves in, and it was really a blast. It was so fun. And we went back out, and all of a sudden there was that wave that grabbed us and threw us, and we went tumbling head over heels, with arms flailing and everything. The guide, who was our interpreter, kicked me in the back like three or four times in our turning. I had bruises on my back where he kicked me. He was very apologetic, but we made it back to shore. That was the positive thing. Of course, you knew that part of this story already, right? We made it back to the shore, but the waves were merciless, and they persecuted us horribly, and there was nothing we could do about it. I had no control in that moment. The only thing I could have changed was the decision to go into the water and to go in that deep. If you live long enough, there seems to be a wave that comes along that knocks you off your feet. Sometimes on the most beautiful days in the most perfect locations, a wave can just knock you off your feet and send you tumbling into life. Sometimes we get depressed. It opens up a whole new thing in our life, and it knocks us off our feet. Maybe your parents get divorced, or maybe you find yourself in a divorce. Maybe you hear the word cancer. It throws you into turmoil. Maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend says, "I don't love you anymore," and it's a wave that knocks you off your feet and sends you tumbling out of control. Maybe it's worrying about your kids or worrying about the money for the future. Things that knock us off our feet and throw us into turmoil, and our serenity and our peace is gone. I think everybody would like to live in a place where they could have control of all the waves that come their way, right? Wouldn't you like to live in a place like that? Well, there is no place on earth like that. We aren't in charge of wave deployment, are we? Waves come and waves go, and we need peace all the time. Jesus said once, he says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you peace." Now, the world gives peace based on mood and how I feel in a moment, right? When I'm driving my Lexus to the beach on that perfectly sunny day at 77 degrees, my kids are all dressed in the new outfit. They are behaving perfectly. We get to the beach, the grill is ready, and the ribeye is perfect, and then you wake up and realize that was a dream. Your kids have colic, right? Your car has a broken transmission, and you're not getting to the beach, and you can't find the kids' swimsuits. You're looking all over, and you can't find them. You're wondering, what happened to them? And your therapist is on vacation. Where are you going to get peace? Where are you going to get peace? And in moments like this, we need serenity. We need peace. True peace isn't based on pleasant circumstances. Serenity, peace, is a byproduct of finding a solid spiritual foundation to ground your life upon. Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "But seek first the kingdom of God. It is the basis by which all things are established, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Peace, hope, joy, love will be added to you if we first seek God and his righteousness. Today, I want to look at some of the challenges that Mary, that mother of Jesus, had to accept in her life to fulfill God's plan. Have you ever found that accepting God's plan is a little challenging? It might be changing the way you had planned it. You see, in the beginning, and many of us are familiar with the story, right? That the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will God will give him the throne of his father David." Now, you might think this would be an easy yes, right? It's going to be a great thing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get to carry this Son of God. It's sort of like I'm going to get to be Mrs. God, if you will. And all generations from this point forward will rise up and call me blessed. People will revere my name. As a matter of fact, they will say, "Hail Mary, full of grace," over and over and over again. There will even be a football pass named after me. Hail Mary! My face will be presented in more different ways and in more public places than any other woman on earth until social media and Kim Kardashian. But the Bible doesn't say Mary was thrilled. It doesn't say she said, "Woohoo!" It says Mary was greatly troubled at his words. We often misunderstand Mary. We often misunderstand the Bible characters because we assume they knew the end at the beginning. We get the opportunity of looking at the entire story, and they just looked at the moment in which it happened. Kierkegaard wrote and said, "Life can only be understood backwards." Isn't that true? Looking back, we see more perfectly, but it must be lived forwards. We live it forwards, but we understand it in reverse. That's how Mary had to live it. She had to live it looking forward, knowing what she knew in the moment. We look back on her life and go, "Wow, that was awesome." But when we think about all of a sudden getting this unexpected wave that comes ripping over your life, knocking you off your feet, changing what you thought was going to be your life. Would Joseph marry her now? It was her fiance. They were preparing to get married. What would happen to her child? The law which governed her culture said that she should be stoned, or at least Joseph, this righteous man, Joseph, shouldn't marry her. If Joseph didn't marry her, she would be left destitute to raise a baby boy by herself. Now, we know the story didn't turn out that way because we get to look backward at the story, right? But Mary could only look forward. And when the message came, it troubled her heart. She was anxious about it. Mary didn't know. She only could live in the presence. The angel's words were very unexpected by Mary. They were an unexpected wave. But Mary's response is phenomenal. I don't know when God talks to you how you respond. I always go next week. Let's pick this conversation back up next week. God says, why don't you do that, John? And I go, well, how about later? Let's talk about it again. Usually, God and I have a continuing conversation, sometimes for months, until I get around to doing what he asked. I wonder what would happen if I did it quickly. I don't know. I don't know that that'll ever happen. But Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May your will be fulfilled. May your word be fulfilled in me. Now, when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple, and a man named Simeon took him in his arms, and he blessed him, and he prophesied this incredible destiny over Jesus. It was phenomenal. And then he turned and he looked at Mary at the end of the dedication, at the end of this amazing prophecy, and he said, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. How would you like that at the end of your baby's dedication? And a sword will pierce your own soul too. What a weird thing. Mary must have wondered, what will that sword be? What will it be like? Nevertheless, I accept it. I embrace it. Maybe the sword was that she and Joseph were going to have financial hardships. At that moment, they couldn't bring a perfect lamb to the temple to sacrifice in celebration of the birth of their son. They brought what a poorer person would bring, and that was two doves to sacrifice. It was common that if you didn't bring enough money, you had to stand in longer lines for the dedication than those who brought the perfect lamb in. I wonder if Mary said, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Sometimes that's around our economic standing. Things we cannot change. Sometimes it's around accepting the death of our dreams. I think every parent has dreams for their children, right? We all have dreams and aspirations of what they're going to be in the future, how it's going to work out for them. We see it beautiful, but I don't think that Mary ever thought that she and Joseph would be running from a king that wanted to kill their baby, and they would have to flee to Egypt to avoid it. I don't think that that was the dream she had at the manger. I'm sure it wasn't fleeing to Egypt as a refugee, but they had peace, the serenity to accept the things they couldn't change. This was God's plan. Maybe Mary believed that her son would lead Jesus, that Jesus would lead her sons to overtake Rome and put Romans out of Israel. She named them in names that might indicate that Jesus would lead her sons and they would overturn and become the rulers of Israel. Did you ever have a dream die I think we've all had a dream that died. Some dreams I had that have died, I'm glad they died, because I can't imagine if they hadn't died that it would have changed everything I am now. I'm glad God didn't answer some of the prayers I've prayed in my life, you know, that were very selfish and they were all about me and not about him and his kingdom. Other dreams that I have lost have been very painful. They have been very painful to lose them. Parents, do you have dreams for your children that they aren't fulfilling? God, grant me the serenity to accept the death of my dreams as I accept your dream for me. Mary had to accept her inability to control Jesus. Can you imagine that, being given the responsibility of disciplining the Son of God? I don't know about that. They went into Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old, and Jesus was hanging out in the temple, and he was saying amazing things, right? Well, it was after the feast, and a group was going back to Nazareth, and they were walking on the road, and they were 3 days out of Jerusalem, and all of a sudden they realized, we don't have Jesus. Now, I don't know how many of you parents have ever lost your child in a crowd, but I have lost both of mine in a crowd, and it's a terrifying experience. Thank God it wasn't for 3 days. I cannot imagine the anxiety as they hurried back to Jerusalem, and there they found Jesus, and they said, why have you treated us this way? Listen to what Luke says. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. I often wonder why Mary said this to Jesus and not Joseph. Maybe he gave himself a little time out, you know. Said, I got to take a time out here. I'm going to take that boy and... And Mary said, he's the Son of God. Don't touch him. Right? I'll take care of this. You moms, I know you. I wonder if Mary thought, maybe that's the sword that will pierce my heart. And I can't control him. That he's really in control of things. I don't think she's the only parent in history that has ever heard that word or ever uttered those words of, why are you treating me and your father like this? I think I said that raising my children. I don't know if you have. You did all the discipline. You were proactive. You nagged when appropriate. You advised, and it wasn't enough. And what do you do when you can't control your children? I watched a video in preparation for this message today, and it was an 8-hour, I didn't watch the whole thing. It was an 8-hour flight from Frankfurt, Germany to New York City, and a child screamed nearly the whole time. Serenity to accept things I cannot change. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot control. Anybody a control freak? Okay, a couple people are honest. The rest of you, we all want to control. It's just how we want to control, what we want to control. At the end of the story of Jesus and him being 12 years old, it says that Mary stored all these things in her heart. She stored them in her heart. How are you at making room in your heart for the things you cannot change? After Jesus was born, the shepherds came to the manger. The angels had announced it. Then they left and told everybody that the Messiah was born. And it says, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Accepting what I cannot change requires making space in our heart for the things we cannot change. The angels sang to the shepherds and announced the Messiah's birth. They came not at the shower invitation, come and celebrate our baby with us. They just showed up. Wow. It was outside Mary's control. She may not have wanted that public recognition, but that's what God decided. That's what God needed. Accepting means instead of regretting a past you cannot fix or worrying about a future you can't control, you live in the present where God is now. Not trying to fix the past or control the future, we live in the present, enjoying this moment, having peace in this moment, loving in this moment. You might think that's enough for poor Mary to accept, but there's more. Wow. She will need to accept rejection and disappointment from the son she has raised. Jesus becomes a man. He begins his public ministry. He was 30 years old when he started. I wonder if they had basements in Nazareth. He lived in the basement until he was 30. I don't know. They didn't have basements. I know that. But he started his ministry at 30 years old, and he went out and he started preaching. And Mary was probably like, oh, all right, this is the time when it's going to bloom. He's going to take over leadership of Israel. It's going to be a phenomenal thing. But what he started doing was hanging out with strange people. All right? He started breaking the Sabbath law. He started touching lepers, which was not okay. He had a prostitute dry his feet with her hair. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. And if anything the Messiah is supposed to do, he's supposed to come and get rid of sin in Israel, right? That's what he's supposed to do. And the Pharisees, those holy people that Mary would have thought that Jesus would have been like partners with, all of a sudden decided that they wanted to eliminate Jesus. They wanted to kill him. This was so strange. What's happening? And Jesus is teaching, and Mary and his brothers, who didn't believe he was the Son of God. He was their brother, right? They went, and this is what the scripture says in Mark. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of Jesus, for they said, he is out of his mind. He's mentally ill, is exactly what his family thought about him. They go to retrieve him to spare the world from this Jesus guy that they had raised. They go to get him. And the people around him says, your mom and your family are here. And he says, no, they're not. That's not my mom and that's not my family. But you who believe in me, you are my family. Ouch. It wasn't easy raising the Son of God, was it? A dagger in a heart. Was this what Simeon talked about? That a sword would pierce her heart. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to accept the hurt I cannot understand. The son that was promised to her by an angel, the baby she carried in her womb, the one she loved and the one she laid in a manger, the one she rocked and bathed and clothed and loved, had rejected her and disappointed her. But of course, we know that wasn't the end, right? Mary was near the cross watching her son die. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." They take Jesus down from the cross. They've pierced his side. And maybe Mary remembers the words of Simeon, the prophet, and says, "This is the sword that will pierce my heart too." If you live long enough, there's a sword that pierces our heart sometime. You will love and you will lose. You'll have a person in your life you would give everything to hold close and help them, but you can't help them because their addiction controls them. You'll say a word and you would do anything in the world to pull that word back in, to be forgiven by it. You're sorry, but you can't pull back the damage you may have caused, and it's a sword that pierces your heart. We who follow Jesus, we don't say, because this living in serenity and living in peace is a pleasant way of life, I will live it. No, we say, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I need your help, O God. There are some things I struggle to accept and have peace with." What in the world is there to have peace about today? Everything seems to be so torn apart. How can we have serenity? I think Mary gains peace in the end, because she accepted the eternal hope that she has in Jesus Christ. For Mary was there at the resurrection of Jesus, and her son was alive again, and she saw him. And I believe she started understanding in that moment what this all was about and what this meant. We find in the first chapter of the book of Acts, we find that Mary was there with the 11 disciples, and they were waiting there, along with the mother and Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Notice that his brothers, after the resurrection, were believing. The resurrection was undeniable. Jesus had appeared physically before them. There was proof that he was alive and would be alive forevermore. It changed everything. In the moment, the sword pierced her heart. In the moment, it was a struggle to accept her condition. But at this moment, she saw the purpose in it all. And it was bigger than her dream. It was bigger than her hope. It was the acceptance of her words at the beginning. "Whatever your word is, may they be fulfilled in me." It wasn't because everything was perfect. It was because there was hope in eternal life through Jesus Christ, her Son, our Savior. Today, we don't live in serenity because it's a more pleasant way to just live. Not because I know I can't control them anyway, so I just accept it. I'm okay with that. Not because acceptance is a good emotional management thing. If I accept it and don't worry about it, I'll be more emotionally content. And not because I'm just trying to muddle through life and get to the end of it, and then it'll all be over. But because the God of the cross is also the God of the resurrection. I live victorious in the moment because I live forward, and I know that this is not the end. This is not the end of my dream. This is not the end of my future. But there is a day coming when we will stand in the presence of God with his saints forever, and in the moment when things aren't right, we have peace because God, the Prince of Peace, has made our future secure in him. The dream I've had may have died, but God gave me a dream of an ultimate, infinite, eternal, better dream that God has for me. My heart may be pierced, but the heart that will be pierced will be healed and made whole again. That is what Mary was experiencing. The people you love are infinitely better off in God's hands than they are in yours. Aren't isn't that the truth? God's decisions for the people I love most are the best for them, even if I don't see it. When the unexpected waves come along and they knock us off our feet, we have peace because we know that God is in control of all things, and we know that this is not the end of the story, but one day we live in his presence forever. Thanks be to God for the truth of the story of Jesus Christ. In closing today, would you pray the extended serenity prayer with me? It's on the back of your message notes, and maybe you would take this with you, and maybe you could pray this prayer a couple times a day. Maybe in the morning, in the evening, maybe even at lunchtime. You could just whisper this little prayer, take it with you. Maybe you take a screenshot of it, or take a picture of it, and just keep it with you and pray it during this Advent season. I intend to do that. And could we stand and pray this prayer together? They're going to project it on the screen as well as having it there in front of you. Could we pray it together? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Now, may the God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ his Son, and the Holy Spirit give you grace and peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen.